Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter's nothing interesting to say.
This is Gil.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Welcome, everyone, to ENN on this Wednesday evening. I'm Peter Rosenberg in New York City, and I'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Look at the insane clown posse.
Then I'd like to say good evening to Don.
Mike Madonna follows me on Twitter.
Anything else, Don?
I'd love to sit down and talk to Owen Nolan.
No one got my Throw Mama from a Train reference. I don't get that.
I did not.
Great movie.
What did you say about Throw Mama from the Train?
I said he wants to talk down. I go, Owen.
That's right. She was an actress like that had no tongue, right? What was her deal?
The lady from Goonies?
Yeah, she's since passed away.
Yeah, she's no longer with us. Sorry. Now I feel like we brought up something that's sad.
A lot of the show's been sad today.
Sorry, I was just adjusting my set here. I feel like I've been dark today. Am I dark
you
today?
You are very dark today. I was going to say that.
Why didn't anyone say anything earlier?
Guy. Our resident comedian, Mike Gaffney, said that I'm like the guy who takes his two kids to church and they're horsing around and I keep saying, shh, stop it.
Hold on.
I don't want to be that guy.
Michael, let me give you a topic. The Yankees 1995 season. Give me your number one memory from that season. Be right back.
My number one memory would be the first game of the playoffs against Seattle when they introduced Don Mattingly. And the stadium felt like it was up for grabs, that it was going to just collapse. It was shaking and the people were so loud. It was just one of the best memories of all the playoff appearances that. It was 1995.
Wow. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that.
You got it.
How's the light?
Much better. It's better.
I wish you guys had told me. All right. Rob,
don't you have a monitor there? I was told that a monitor was sent your way.
Yeah, it actually is. And I looked at it once earlier, thought I was a little dark in the monitor, but then didn't think much of it again. And then I just now found a spot where I can keep the monitor on my table without it being spotted on camera. So now I figured it out. I have it up here, and I'm not very bright. So Rod Thorne was on Golic and Wingle.
Rob who?
Thorne.
Rod.
Okay.
I said Rod. I didn't say Rob.
No, I know. I thought you said Thorned.
Anyway, Rob Thorned was
Rod.
On Golic.
Rod.
Oh, sorry. Rod Thorned.
I knew I heard a D there somewhere.
Was on Golic and Wingo, and he talked about the Jordan-Isaiah Thomas relationship, and first of all, said that Jordan never spoke to him about Isaiah, and here's why he said Isaiah Thomas didn't make the dream team.
We had a long list of players that we initially looked at as to whom we would choose, and we pared it down, you know, reasonably quickly. You know, Chuck had a list of guys, Chuck Daly, you know, he came in with a list of guys. It was pretty much the same list that we had, and, you know, Isaiah certainly was on that list. But, you know, when we ended up, you know, going with the first 10 guys, you know, he did not end up making the team.
Oh, come on. Just don't.
Now, I love Rod Thorne, Don.
You don't want to be lied to, though.
But nobody's going to admit that Michael Jordan said he makes the team and I don't go. They're not going to admit that. I mean, that's going to be a conspiracy that will be closed up.
So you'd rather own the fact that, you know, you're a general manager in the sport, a pretty good one, too, and you said, I don't think Isaiah should be on this team.
Well, he's also saying that Chuck Daly didn't think so.
He
was on the initial list of both. And Daly wouldn't have fought for the guy that got him two championship rings?
Come on. Just be honest. It's 30 years later. Who cares?
It's
Michael Jordan. He's an icon in the sport. He's, you know, we had to.
Yeah, who's really going to begrudge you at this point? Isaiah?
I mean, I can understand not wanting to do it at the time, but now that everything has passed and everybody knows what it is, it's Michael Jordan.
So, guys,
what are you
going to
do?
Brett Favre was on.
Favre.
Brett Favre was on the Rich Eisen show. And he was asked whether he believes Aaron Rodgers, a.k.a. A-Rodge, will retire a Packer.
My gut tells me no. You know, it's kind of cool now to – it's not uncommon to retire and unretire now. You know, when I did it,
right,
it was a little bit out of the realm. Now it's fairly common, not just in football, but in all sports. And it's, you know, Tom Brady and myself and Joe Montana and Peyton Manning finished their career elsewhere. And in my case, I played with four different teams. I think that that's going, you're going to see that trend more and more. And I think Aaron will finish somewhere else.
I just want to tell you, my jeans are so damn comfortable. I could play a full game of football in the street.
Go 33-39. That Aaron Rodgers is going to be traded in the next 2 years. There's just no way. It's not fiscally responsible to do that. You can't do it cap-wise. You take such a huge cap hit. Maybe they want to get rid of him in 2 years. But they're going to get 2 years out of him, that's for sure.
And also, I mean, I know Ballard doesn't like to hear this, and Packers fans don't like to hear this.
Ballard!
Two more years might be the end for Rodgers.
Now,
we'll see.
You have constant contact with Ballard. I wouldn't call him on a bet. So can you make this known to him?
Okay.
That the quarterbacks on his team are now A-Rod and J-Lo.
I'm sure he knows already.
Okay.
He already sent me a video a couple days ago, like a side-by-side video clip of Rodgers and Jordan Love highlights, like where they did the same thing for game-winning touchdowns.
I'm thinking, I don't know him very well, and I'm happy about that. But from what I know, this shelter in place, he must be going out of his mind. Because imagine being alone in that mind.
The sick mind of Ballard.
Yeah.
Well, I saw on his Instagram story earlier, he looks like he ordered some delicious barbecue meat from Texas.
Interesting.
So, I mean, you know, he's doing the
good
right thing.
Good for him.
All right, I have a lot more exciting audio to get to. More from Brett Favre on the Rich Eisen Show asked, what does he think is going through Aaron Rodgers' head right now?
I guarantee you it's got the wheels turning in Aaron's mind, which if that's the case, then that means that there's a chip on his shoulder towards the organization that otherwise was not there. And so all he needs is a reason other than this reason to expedite that.
Wait, first of all, there's two things I have to say here. Number one, let's just be honest. Brett Favre, him doing this interview right now to talk about Rodgers is pretty obnoxious.
No. Because in the interview, Peter, he tells Rich that he has recently, since the draft, spoken with Rodgers.
So that means they've become friends?
I guess that it's softened. So he told Rich, I won't tell you exactly what was said. But these opinions are based on that conversation, I am sure. Because maybe Brett called him jokingly, go, nah, now you know how I felt.
It's funny because you made that joke the next day, but it may have really happened.
Yeah.
But if I confide in someone as big as Brett Favre, and then almost immediately he goes on a national radio show, Rodgers is behind it.
Maybe. Maybe
so
he's
trying to get the message out.
Pigeon.
That's giving a lot of respect, though, to Favre, that you don't think Favre's capable of going rogue, because I do. And if he did go rogue, how obnoxious is it that he was there to make Rodgers' career a nightmare at the beginning, and now he's here to talk about it at the end?
Well, he knows about him.
He
knows
Rodgers' career a nightmare. It was the other
way around. He was obnoxious.
But he didn't help him.
What did you say?
You're not going to
help him.
Yeah, he supposedly at the beginning, he just didn't want nothing to do.
And I bet you that's exactly how Rodgers will deal with Love.
Well, that's sad. I hope Rodgers is a better man than that.
But if you're going to talk to somebody that you know is capable of going rogue, then you obviously are comfortable with what you told him to go public.
Right.
So whether it was designed by Favre to communicate that to Rodgers, say, hey, do me a favor, can you go on shows and tell everybody that, or it wasn't, the intent from Rodgers to tell Favre was hoping he would then say something. So where is he going to go? As you said, he's got a contract that's almost impossible to trade away. He's got a team that's still good, so he'd be foolish to try to work his way out of it now. And then at 38, you're a free agent, you want to go someplace else, great.
Well, I hear you, but Mike Sando was on the Will Cain show, and he thinks Aaron Rodgers is going to be gone sooner rather than later.
I put the number at 3 years. It sounds like to me you think it's much shorter than that, two and possibly.
I'll take the under on 3 years all day, and if we bet $1,000, I would just spend it right now.
That's how confident you feel.
Yeah, for 3 years. I mean, it's going to be under on the three. Yes, I feel pretty confident in that. You know, I do.
Yeah, it sounds like you think it's going to be one or two. Just now you told me. I mean,
yeah. I mean, to me, the over-under is 1.5, and you just pick one of those, more than 2.5. If everything comes together, great. I mean, things could change, but that's just the way it feels right now.
Well, so Will Cain is talking about Rodgers ultimately departing. I'm reading stories that Will Cain might be.
It's a great point. If Sando should have come back at him being like, let's talk about how long you're going to be here.
I'm going to miss Will if he leaves.
You're a fan.
Good guy.
Well, and also you're such a fan of his looks.
He's a handsome dude.
Probably the best looking guy at the company.
Oh, there's you.
I'm not good looking.
There's Dan Grosso, who you think is beautiful. Alan Hahn's a good-looking guy.
Hahn's in the conversation. DiPietro's in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Wow, both.
Canty's handsome. So yes. Is Bart Scott.
Well, you know, so really, the whole station just happens to be so handsome.
Except this show.
How dare you?
We're train wrecks.
But I don't think it's really... When you look at what Rodgers' mood has been like as quarterback over the last couple years, is it really going out on a limb? And now they go out and get the quarterback? Is it really going out on a limb to think that it, one way or another, is not going to last that long? Well, Michael, really, the only reason you're giving that it's going to last is financial.
Oh, you're absolutely.
You're not saying there's any love there.
Because I read a story in The Athletic last night. The Packers are just sick of him. He's passive-aggressive. He looks over at the sideline when something doesn't go right. Like, he doesn't blame himself. He's a load to handle.
Yeah.
And they would like him at one point to depart. They're sick of it. And he got Mike McCarthy fired, who had a pretty good run there.
But everything is going to be contingent on what happens this year. Because they were 13-3, Peter, but I would never put them in the conversation as the best team in football. I never really felt that they were as good as their record said they were.
Well, the proof was in the pudding, right?
Yeah.
The championship game was disgusting.
Yeah.
I mean, and listen, I'm not sitting here. I'm jealous of a Packers fan. You get to be pretty good every year. But to your point, Don, considering Aaron Rodgers has been the most talented quarterback in the league now for a decade,
mm-hmm.
you never believed, if unless your name was Mark Ballard, you did not believe the Packers were going to win the Super Bowl last year.
No. So if they go from 13-3 to, say, 11-5, 10-6, and Rodgers doesn't have that great of a year, well, then things are going to start to look a little different than going into 2021. And then how does Love play in the preseason? And all that. I mean, I could see two. Well, how many years he has left on his contract?
Two.
Well, he's got 5 years left.
Oh, I thought it was
two are the ones that you just can't get rid of them because it would cripple you financially.
So if you go from 13-3 to 10-6, which is definitely a possibility, then he's the starting quarterback in 2021, and then they go 9-7, and now you can move him. Yeah, I think 2 years makes sense. I would definitely bet the under on three, but I don't think he's going anywhere before two. He's not going to get dealt at the deadline of year two, and I don't think he would be moved in the offseason. So I think he's playing two more years.
Question for you. Jameis Winston has signed a one-year deal with the Saints.
Yes.
Do the Saints have the most talented quarterback roster in football now? Drew Brees, Taysom Hill, Jameis Winston.
And Tayshaun Hall.
Well, if you're going to go three deep, sure.
Even the most effective quarterback was Tayshaun Hall.
Even if you go too deep, they're in the conversation. I mean, listen, we know Jameis Winston is a flawed starter. He threw 30 touchdowns, 30 picks last year. But, guys, how many times – don't make me play the David Blow drop – I mean, how many times do we talk about a backup just being an absolute nobody?
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
I really, truly believe, Peter, the Jets and the Giants are in bad shape. They do not have proper backup quarterbacks
for
their young quarterbacks.
I mean,
they don't. They're naked if those guys go down.
By the way, now here's the problem, though, and I'm sick of seeing this in football. Ever since the Kaepernick conversation, Don, this always annoyed the hell out of me because it goes against the idea of the best man plays.
Mm.
Do the Jets not pursue a Jameis Winston because they don't like the idea of Sam Darnold gets mono next year, Winston comes in, and instead of playing like Dreck, is actually half decent, and they have a controversy?
I know, but in a cap sport, I guess, and you feel like, well, how often does mono happen? He doesn't have like an injury-prone situation like Wentz has been, where it just seems like every year something happens to him. do you have the luxury of paying, you know, decent money to somebody that is going to challenge the job in New York with the market it is, you know, possibly create a quarterback controversy? I think that's what they're the scaredest of, right?
Oh, my
like
God.
Josh McCown, you gave him $10 million, so you can't tell me that money is much of an issue. You gave $10 million to a guy you didn't want playing for you on a bet.
Do you know,
you felt that he would help the growth of the quarterback, but more importantly, it's not anybody that's going to challenge the quarterback. Though if Darnold throws four interceptions, we're talking the next day on the air about why isn't Winston playing.
What do you guys think Winston got paid by New Orleans to be the backup?
Jameson Winston.
It can't be a lot because Hall's making a lot of money, or Hill. He's making like $10 million, and then you've got what Drew Brees is making. So I bet you it's $1.5 million.
Don?
No, I thought maybe it'd be like around 12.
What? I love this. Don, I'm closer to you. He started the entire season last year, and he's your backup.
30 touchdown passes.
Base value, $1.1 million, includes $3.4 million in available incentives. The Jets couldn't go get something like that?
Well, I mean, you gave Josh McCown $10 million.
Right. So now you can't have a serviceable backup?
Yeah, but I don't think that Winston would have gone there because he went to New Orleans to learn from Peyton and Breeze. Breeze is going to go into the booth after this year, so the opportunity is there him to become the starter. With the Jets, I think that's not.
Sure, sure. Yep, fair. I mean, but here's the thing. But how do you not trot out? After what happened, guys, last year when Sam Darnold got sick, we saw a team that ended up being okay at the end of the year. Would you guys agree, offensively, they were not an NFL football team while he was?
No, they were an embarrassment.
But they were on their third string.
They had the same backup quarterback now, David Falls, right?
But yeah, they still have David Falls.
Now, and I will give the Giants credit. They've upgraded from Tanny with Colt McCoy, but it's still not a great backup quarterback.
I love him.
No, but I think most teams, unless it's a situation where their quarterback is towards the end, where if they have a backup that's just a backup, he's somebody like that. If it's Breeze where he's 40 and it's his last year, you're probably going to have somebody that you feel comfortable could be in the conversation to replace him, an heir apparent. But what team has like a legitimate backup quarterback where their quarterback isn't going anywhere anytime soon? How you know it doesn't happen.
Well, you had it
for Kirk Cousins in Minnesota.
I don't know who backs up Kirk Cousins. Isn't it upsetting that my first thought about backing up in Minnesota was Tavares Jackson?
Yes, very upsetting.
And did I even make up that he was ever in Minnesota? Was he that after Seattle? I made that up.
But I'll have to look up and see.
Sean Mannion.
Sean Mannion backs up?
Right. So I'd like to see if there's a team that has a quarterback that you don't plan on going anywhere. He is your starting quarterback. And you have like a legit starter as his backup. I can't think of one. There may be one, but I can't think of one.
Well, Miami's got a, according to who starts, you know, if it's Fitzpatrick or Rosen, and then you've got Tua. That's three decent quarterbacks.
Well, I guess Rosen's out of the equation because they wouldn't have drafted Tua if they thought Rosen had a chance.
Rosen
now,
could
Fitzpatrick,
be
to Rosen me, could just still somebody be on the team if Tua is not able to go physically.
But assuming Tua can go, don't
I
you
would
just
grab
go
Rosen.
Don't you just go Tua and Fitzpatrick?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now Rosen could be someone interested for someone like the Jets to get.
Yep, I agree.
And he certainly has zero value at this point. No offense. Roger Goodell, in response to COVID-19, has voluntarily requested the league's compensation committee to take his salary down to $0, which was accepted and put into effect a few weeks ago.
That's $40 million, man.
Yeah, that's a big cut. I think it'll be all right, but
yeah, if you've been making $40 million a year for the last 5 years, you could probably skip a year of salary.
But still, a lot of people aren't.
No, I know.
Victor Cruz was on his new TV show, Pop of the Morning on E, and started talking about the infamous boat trip in Miami. And says that he believes that boat trip will in some ways haunt him forever. He said it was right after. Well, let me get there. He said it was right after a game, and we were just about to go in the playoffs. And although we had a day off, we went to Miami, We had a good time. It was New Year's Day. We came back the next day, didn't break any rules. But this photo will haunt me for the rest of my life.
That's it. A photo.
It was more of a feeling of, man, when am I going to do this again? When am I going to get to be an athlete, win a football game, go on a private jet, go to Miami the same night? It was one of those things where I was just like, I think I'm going to go feed our ego tonight. And then he said, obviously, when we came back, we're in the locker room, we're getting ready for practice, and the media is asking a ton of questions about it. They asked our coach about it. And after the loss, the fact that we lost left a bad taste in everyone's mouth.
It's funny the way he's fashioning it. All right, so he said the picture will be one of his great regrets.
No, he said the picture will haunt him.
It will haunt him. But not the trip, because he doesn't think the trip had anything to do with the loss. And I probably would agree with that. But you take the chance, like Tony Romo did when he vacationed with Jessica Simpson in Cabo, that if things don't go well, that will be pointed at. I was surprised today on Twitter, somebody retweeted what Victor Cruz said and said, this is ridiculous. And then Carl Banks retweeted that and said, absolutely not, had nothing to do with the loss. Okay, again, we'll never know if it had anything to do with the loss, although Odell did have three drops in the game against Green Bay. But let's say it had nothing to do with the loss. If you're going to go to Miami on your off day rather than studying tape of Green Bay, then you better win. And if you don't, then you're going to have to suffer the slings and arrows that's the reason you lost, even if it's not.
Because it certainly didn't help. Okay? We could talk about how it didn't hurt them, but it certainly didn't help them. Didn't bring them together because they didn't win. But I think, too, when I because we've gotten to know Victor, right? I mean, he's a really good person. He's a cool guy. He's got it together. His story is tremendous. That picture, he comes across like a spoiled athlete, rich guy. And I'm sure he feels uncomfortable
with
that.
Well, he sort of acknowledged that, though.
Victor Cruz.
In saying why he did that, I think he sort of acknowledged it by saying that was a night where they went to feed their ego.
Right.
You know, and I don't think he's saying it was a great choice either.
No, but I just think that that's someone that I think wants to be remembered as a real hardworking guy, undrafted rookie who wins a Super Bowl. You know, a kid from Paterson, New Jersey, who made it big, right? That worked hard. And let's face it, if you had like a photo album of Victor Cruz's accomplishments, unfortunately, that boat cruise picture is in the first two or three. And I'm sure that bothers him because that's not who he really is.
And by the way, somebody just gave me some clarification on Goodell. His salary is not $40 million. His salary is $4 million. And it goes up to 40 with incentives. So he's only foregoing his salary. He's not foregoing the incentives.
Oh, so he could still make $36 million.
Yeah, he'll be able to scrape by.
That game against the Packers, Victor was targeted four times, had three catches for 30 yards. Odell was targeted 11 times, four catches, 28 yards.
And obviously, Odell had at least three drops, including a touchdown in that game.
Yeah, and he was obviously their best player at the time. Sterling Shepard targeted nine times, four catches, 63 yards. And Roger Lewis did not do anything.
I hope it was worth it.
It wasn't. I don't know how Odell feels or anybody else on there, but for Victor, that must bother the heck out of him. Right, Peter? You know him.
Yeah,
but what bothers me about that? Hmm. Even if they went on the trip, the fact they took that picture was they wanted to show everybody how cool they were. They could have gone on a trip. Nobody would have ever known. They could have gone back. Nobody would have ever known.
Because, but somebody by the way, took the picture could have even taken the picture. No one had to post it.
Right. And they posted it because look at us, yay, look at us.
And
it was a mistake.
And think how gangster that would have came off had they won the game.
Right.
Oh, people would have been wearing shirts with the picture on it.
Right. Because you know professional athletes, Michael, they think they can do anything. And I remember I felt very good about the game. I really thought the Giants had a shot. And they probably did too.
The score is misleading, by the way. It wasn't a blowout till the second half.
Right. They just didn't look ready to play. That's the problem. When you see drop passes, Peter, it's one thing to just be beaten by a better team. And the Packers, they had home field advantage. It wasn't that crazy to think that they were going to win the game. But I'm sure they got a little full of themselves. Listen, the whole organization was that way because that was during that time of, hey, all we got to do is just get into the playoffs. Eli will take us there. So I'm sure there was a little conceit there. Let's take the picture. How gangster this is going to look the next day when we go to Green Bay win. This is going to be a big deal. And you know what? You didn't win.
Michael, everyone's talking about baseball in Taiwan these days.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only place where baseball's happening. And in fact, you said it's going to be popping up on ESPN television soon, right?
Yeah, I heard they're trying to make some kind of a deal to televise the games.
Well, Manny Ramirez, who's 47 years old, says he wants to go back to Taiwan to play. He briefly played there in 2013, and yes, now he's 47. And there's a lot of attention around the league because it is the only league going on. Manny hasn't played in the major league since 2011.
Mm.
But I will tell you, it would be interesting if a couple of, and I don't know, are there, Michael, are there any other former MLB players in the Taiwan League?
I think there are. They're players like a Dan Straley, I believe, who's a pitcher in the big, but there was no star like Manny Ramirez. But, I mean, why would they want a 48-year-old Manny Ramirez?
Speaking of which, Michael, we forgot to even mention the exciting news that you sent me over the weekend, which you were very excited about. It's something that you've been talking about wanting to see for years.
That's right. Well, the thing I don't like is just he's going to fight exhibitions.
So Mike Tyson reportedly is working out with the interest in coming back to fight some exhibitions for, I think he said, for charity, right?
Yes. Four round exhibitions for charity.
What is he, 54?
53.
He's in great shape.
He looks great. Certainly makes it seem like cannabis has a positive effect on.
But Pulp Fiction, they said that boxing doesn't have an old timer's day.
I will tell you this though, Peter. If he gets in shape and actually does well in these exhibitions, why? Why wouldn't you fight one more big fight for $50 million?
Because you might get killed.
George Foreman is reportedly pleading with Mike not to come back.
Oh, really?
I'm just seeing this now. He said Tyson's done enough.
Well, he's done enough.
He said he's done enough. No more is needed.
It's a choice whether they've done enough.
Wow, it's been 15 years since Mike lost to Kevin McBride in Washington, D.C., a fight that I was at, and I had to, I practically ran out of the building. I was so upset.
Did you cry?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I did. And I had just started my talk show. I was doing weekend nights, my first ever talk show on WJFK in Fairfax, Virginia. I went to the fight that night, and I basically ran out of the building in tears and had to get in my car downtown D.C., drive straight out to Fairfax to do a radio show and fight through the tears and talk about the end of Mike's career. My mom had to console me.
Boy, Mindy's put up with so much with you.
And say,
if I knew you, I would have been there for you, Peter.
See, I know you would have.
If I knew you, I would have said, grow a pair.
And that'll do it. Thank you, Michael, for ENN on this Wednesday evening.
That was rude. I shouldn't have said that.
It's all right.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.